When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet, but I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Love this podcast because it crushes your dreams of getting rich quick.
They actually got me into reading stats for anything.
You're tuned in to the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Led by Andrew Sather and Dave Ahern.
Step-by-step premium investing guidance for beginners.
Your path to financial freedom starts now.
Starts now.
All right, folks, welcome to Investing for Beginners podcast. Today, we're going to continue on our series of Back to Basics. So this is a series we're going to do every Thursday. We have about 20 episodes lined up, and we will just work through those. And so every Thursday, come back and learn more about Back to the Basics. Today's topic is going to be dollar cost averaging and timing in the market. So these are important topics for investors, especially new investors, to understand. So Andrew, let's talk about dollar cost averaging and timing the market. So I guess maybe let's define what is dollar cost averaging.
Yeah, dollar cost averaging is the way to avoid all the problems with the crazy market that there is. You know, one of the refrains from people is they say the stock market's way too risky. And if you were to pick one point in time and compare it to another point in time, you might come to the same conclusion. Stocks lose value very frequently, and some stocks more frequently than others. But yes, the stock market can be very bumpy, very volatile, a very uncertain place. What dollar cost averaging does is allows you to be invested in the stock market and basically take out that negative effect of the uncertainty that comes with investing in the stock market. And the way you do it is you invest a little bit. It doesn't have to be a little bit, it could be a lot, but you invest a set amount consistently over time. So, you know, some months you might buy and it's a terrible time to buy because you bought when the market was expensive. But sometimes you'll buy when it's a great time to buy because the market was cheaper. And so by dollar cost averaging, rather than trying to say, oh, I know exactly when to buy stocks and sell stocks, you take that off of the table, and it helps, I would say, the vast majority of average investors to make good returns in the stock market by eliminating a lot of the risks that can come when you try to figure out the timing of the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's very well put. And I think one of the other great aspects of dollar cost averaging is it helps establish a habit. Something we've talked about many times is investing needs to become a habit, and using something, a process like dollar cost averaging, allows you to develop that habit because, as you expertly said, you're continually putting money into the market. And that's how you can take advantage of the swings of the market, the ups and downs, and you can smooth out your returns over a longer period of time. But the biggest advantage, that one of the biggest advantages that I see from it, is just the ability to develop that habit of, okay, every first Tuesday of the month, I'm going to put
$1,000 in the market. And once you start to establish that habit, it becomes a lot easier, in theory, to continue doing that over a longer period of time. And that's one of the biggest advantages we as an individual investors have, is the ability to control when we put money in the market and how much we put in and what we buy, and doing it over a long period of time.
So somebody who's kind of skeptical with that might say, I would rather put more money in when I'm more comfortable and maybe not put as much money in when I'm less comfortable. You know, obviously going against dollar cost averaging. Why would dollar cost averaging be a better idea in a scenario like that?
Well, because the idea of investing when you're comfortable and investing when you're uncomfortable also kind of takes into account market timing. And you're trying to determine when you think is the best time to invest in the stock market. And there is no ideal best time. The best time is to do it now. What did Warren Buffett say? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, and the second best time is now. I think, to me, the way I interpret that saying was that he was telling me to get off my butt and invest and not wait for the perfect time and just start putting money into the market, because none of us can see what's going to happen in the future. My crystal ball is very hazy and a little cracked. And so I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow or, you know, 2 weeks from now. And so instead of trying to go, oh, geez, you know, I just want to wait for the perfect time, there is no such thing. It's, you got to start putting your money to work. I read recently that, like, if you look at the five best days of the year to invest, if you didn't invest in those, then you didn't do so well. But the takeaway from that was that you can't predict when those 5 days are going to happen. And so if you have money in the market, you get to take advantage of those best days. And if you don't, then if you're trying to time the market and you miss it by a day each time and you only invest in those particular moments, then you don't get to partake in the best days of the market. So that's where having money in the market can be so beneficial.
Yeah. Essentially pairing it with a long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. So you're putting money in consistently. Right. Obviously, we're talking about the asset gathering stage or the building wealth stage, accumulation stage.
Yes.
Of somebody's life. Putting money in and then also making sure you hang on to it and you're not putting money in and then putting it out, taking it out tomorrow with buyer's remorse or something.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful idea. I look back, feel fortunate to have gone through, you know, the bear market of 2020 and be forced to see how my stocks did, and then fast forward 6 months and see how they were just 6 months later. You would be astonished how much a stock can fall and then rebound like a rubber band, just like boom, really fast. Mm-hmm. Because of the way the market can be so emotional.
Yes.
And to your point, nobody knows what days those are, what day the market can crash or what day the market can rebound. But just by staying in those stocks, you're not really buying low, but in essence, by having the conviction to stick with those stocks as if you had bought low and continue to hang on. So that can be a very, very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. That other institutional investors who have people to please, they might not be able to do the same thing, to have that kind of patience, to be able to stick with their investments like that.
Right.
What's the best way to steward your wealth? Looking to find great businesses with a margin of safety? My advice, Value Spotlight at valuespotlight.com.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet, but I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Budgeting was always a challenge for me. I struggled to find the best way to keep track of all of my money.
not to mention all the time tracking down receipts, cataloging expenses, and trying to figure out what went wrong with my air quote system until Monarch Money. Monarch Money allowed me to easily see what is going on with my finances, helping me get a better handle on my spending, budgets, and more. It's my go-to app every day, more so than my bank, because I can quickly see where I am with my budgets and spending, allowing me to invest more and spend time on the things that I want to do. It's my GPS for money. Monarch is a top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor. Invite them to your account at no extra cost, and they'll get their own login info and a joint view of all of your finances. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. In fact, Monarch Money is one of the first to bring you direct Apple Card, Apple Cash, and savings syncing with the latest iOS 17.4 update. Now you can sync your wallet directly for seamless budgeting. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. That's monarchmoney.com/beginners for your extended 30-day free trial.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're newer to investing, how would you suggest somebody start to set up that kind of habit of continually trying to put money in the market?
Yeah, I think the first step always goes down to see if your employer has a 401k option. And if they do a match on your money, take full advantage of whatever the match is, because that's free money. And that's probably more money than you can make in the stock market. If it's a 100% match, you're getting $1 for one. You're not going to get that in the stock market, certainly not instantaneously. So take full advantage of that, because that's a huge tool that a lot of employees have. I guess the next step after that, if you've utilized all of the match, is think about your own individual retirement accounts that are maybe outside of your employer. Maybe that's a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. And try to think of an amount that you think would be sustainable. One that you can commit to, and you put it at the top of your budget line item to say, I can put this much money in every month, and it's not going to force me to not buy groceries or not pay my bills, and then just do it.
Yeah.
For me, I have a habit, I near the end of the month go in and put that transfer in and make sure it's in my account so that in the beginning of the month I can buy something in the stock market. And that's how I do it. How do you do it?
I set it up so that we get paid every 2 weeks. And so the way I set it up is I have money transferred from after my direct deposit into my checking account. I have money transferred into my Fidelity account. So a few days after the paycheck hits the account, then I have money transferred into the Fidelity account so that I can, you know, the following week I can buy something. Mm-hmm. And setting up the automation makes it a whole lot easier, because now I know that in my head, I know, okay, it's Thursday and I got paid yesterday. I need to start thinking about what I'm going to buy next week. And so it sets up this mindset of like, okay, what am I going to buy? And start looking at the portfolio, you know, looking at what Andrew picked recently. Do I want to contribute more to that? You know, those kinds of things. And then I just try to determine, you know, what I'm going to do. But automating it like that makes it really easy. It's one less, I guess, speed bump that I have to go over to make it happen.
Yeah, that's powerful. How did you set it up? Do you remember?
So I literally went to Fidelity. Fidelity has the ability to transfer money into your account from your checking account, or from, you could do it from your payroll provider too. I know our payroll provider offers the ability to basically set, kind of like your 401k does. It can take it, you can designate a certain amount of money to go to a certain account. So whether it's your, you know, an HSA, or whether it's, you know, a brokerage account or a savings account, whatever you want, you can transfer that money to that account. That's what I chose to do with Fidelity, is I just have the money. They come in, pull the money out of my account, and makes it really easy.
Yeah. It is really that easy. And that's,
yeah. It really
the beauty
is,
you know, of investing today.
I know Ramit Sethi has talked about that for years, as like automating your finances, and it can make those things a lot easier. And that's one of the things that I love about like a 401k, for example, is that it automates it for you. That goes a step further and actually makes the investments for you. So it just completely takes that out of you out of the equation, which makes it that much easier to contribute, because you don't, for the most part, you don't see the money coming out of your account. It just goes. And then you, every once in a while, you check your 401k balance. Oh, I have money in there. Wow, that's awesome. But the fact that it also automates the investments for you too makes it just that much easier. And like you said, the match is just an added bonus to setting all that up.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about the mechanics of dollar cost averaging. If we could go back though, because I'm sure every investor at some point of time has challenged this philosophy to say, you know, it doesn't apply to me, right? Like, I'm better than this. But what is the reason why you don't think most investors can time the market? It's simple, right? Just buy when it's low and sell when it's high, right?
You know, right.
Buy when the stock's down and struggling. Sell it when everybody has gotten excited about it and the stock's doubled. What's so hard about that? So what's the problem with that?
Well, the problem with that is there's a lot of problems, but the biggest problem is none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so the air quote bottom that you may be buying at, that may not be the bottom. It could go down farther. And, you know, who here has bought a company and had a drop? Raise their hand, me and Andrew. It happens. You know, you buy, this is the absolute perfect time. You love this company and it's a price that you think is a good price, and you buy it and it goes down five. Next day. It's part of the game. And it's impossible to know what direction the company is going to go. And even, you know, even Bitcoin, you know, has its downtimes. And, you know, how many times have we seen in the market recently? I'm going to cherry pick some data, but, you know, Netflix dropping 20% in a day, Meta, Facebook dropping 10, 15% in a day, dropping almost 50% in months. You know, Adyen, the company that I own, dropping 50% in 2 days. Those are unforeseen events, and none of us know that can happen. And on the flip side, you know, Nvidia jumping 20-30% in a few days, you know, recently. Those are unforeseen events. And if you get lucky, you know, that's awesome. But you got to remember, that's exactly what it is. It's luck. You know, you aren't picking the company at the exact perfect time and it jumped 30% just because you bought it that day. The stock doesn't know you own it and it doesn't care. And so trying to time the market is, it's impossible. You never know when the top is going to be, and you never know when the bottom is going to be. And you also don't ever know who's going to be on the other side willing to buy. If it's dropping like a rock, it might be a lot harder to find somebody to buy it than if it's going up. So it really comes down to that. And then that's not even taken into the equation, you know, all the biases and frailties and insecurities that we humans have. And that's a whole other bag. So to me, that's why it drops. Why it's so hard is because we don't know what the future is going to hold. You have no idea.
What's the best way to get started in the market? Download Andrew's ebook for free at stockmarketpdf.com.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Yeah, we really don't. It's funny to think that the market is this master invention of humanity, which in a way it is, but we can kind of look at it as a machine and forget it's made up of a bunch of humans who, you know, have mental health issues, go through divorces, just have terrible tragedies that happen to them. All these, like you said, unforeseen events that's just on the personal side. And then you zoom out and expand out to what happens with companies and how fast their fortunes can change. And so the idea that something as simple as dollar cost averaging can shield you from that absolute reality that we can't run away from. It's simple, but very, very powerful. And it can help you. And, you know, maybe can, I know we've talked on the back to the basics already, but just to give an overview, you know, if I'm day one, day two into the stock market, this dollar cost averaging thing sounds like a good idea for me. What kind of expectations should I have for those first couple investments I'm putting into the market?
You're going to see a lot of craziness. You'll see a lot of volatility. And what that really means is you're going to see a lot of ups and downs. And if you are like most people, when you first step into the stock market, you're going to check your brokerage account at least half a dozen times, if not a dozen times a day. And you're going to see the price go down 50 cents, go up $1.02, go down 75 cents, and then up 27 cents. And it's going to be all over the place. You may, depending on the company, you may not see it moving much at all. There are stocks like that too. But if you buy something super volatile, like a Tesla, for example, you'll see it bounce all over the place. You know, in the course of a day, in the course of a week, in the course of a month, you'll see wild fluctuations because a lot of the share price is driven by emotion, by Elon being Elon and the emotion of people that follow him and invest in his company. And so you can see a lot of volatility in that company. And it doesn't mean that when you see a lot of volatility, that's a bad investment. It just means that there's a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of people investing in that company. And like Andrew said, there's a lot of people behind this and other emotions are tied up in that. And that's going to affect the ups and downs of a company. And so when you first invest in a company, whatever it may be, it's not always going to go up to the right every day consistently. You're going to have a few up days, a down day, a few up days, then three down days, and then four up days, and then five down days. But you have to force yourself to zoom out and just realize that this is part of the game. And if you look at it over the long term, you'll see it go up to the right. And that's the most important part.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned the word game a few times, and really investing in the market is so complex. Everybody really does have their own game they're playing or their own agenda that they're trying to carry out. So to use that Tesla example again, I might look at a company like that and try to interpret the stock price movements based on my frame of reference, my lens, the way I like to invest. I like to look for something that I think is a fair price and I like to hold it for a very long time. But you have a lot of other traders who might be trying to jump in and out within an hour or two. You know, you might have people who are playing these hedging games where they're, you know, I'm going to go long electric vehicles with Tesla and I'm going to go short electric batteries with Albemarle and I'm going to make that trade for 2 weeks and I'm going to sell out both of those, right? And we could be talking about billions of dollars for one guy who's doing his own agenda and then hundreds of people with 10 bucks doing their own agenda also. So you can have so many different combinations of all those things. You put all of those factors together, and yes, in the short term, you get a stock price that doesn't make a lot of sense because there's too many factors that you just can't account for.
Right.
And that's why the market's always been uncertain and why it will always be uncertain, because the world's bigger than just me and Dave, you know, or
yeah,
listener out on the other side. It's a big, big, big market.
It's a huge market. It's a huge market. And I think, you know, when you kind of combine all those factors, it really does help explain why it moves so much and why there's so much volatility. And, you know, to kind of further your point, you know, there's a lot of people that are very long NVIDIA, like they think that this is going to be the next great company. And I'm not saying it's not, but there's also other people on the other side that think that it's a tremendous, monstrous bubble. And they're betting that it's going to burst and they're going to benefit from that. And those two contradicting forces can help sway how the company moves in the market, depending on the sentiment about news, you know, that goes on with the company. And that can have a huge impact on the forces that you see with an investment. I read recently, I think it might have been Warren Buffett, was talking about the mastering of the money part of investing is probably fairly rudimentary, but the mastering the emotional side of it is easily the hardest part, because that is what really drives the craziness of the market, is how we feel about things and our, you know, as you said, our inhibitions and our thoughts and our feelings really drive how we behave. And those behaviors are felt through us buying or selling a company.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And there's just so many biases that play into that, that we could probably talk about that for hours.
Right. Yeah, for sure. We're good. So how would you suggest somebody avoid trying to time the market?
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to the dollar cost averaging and then combining that with the long-term mindset and really making sure you understand that mindset correctly. I mean, you could build a portfolio full of 20, 25 great businesses, great stocks, but if you're constantly trying to micromanage it, then you probably won't see its true potential. And it's a balancing act too. You also don't want to hang on to grenades. And there will probably be stocks you pick that turn into that too. Mm-hmm. So it is a balancing act. But in general, I think having that long-term mindset and combining it with dollar cost averaging is probably the best, easiest, simplest thing you can do to combat against the market timing.
Yeah, for sure. So what are your thoughts on people come into a large sum of money versus continually just dollar cost averaging? Is it better to take the, let's say you come into $10,000, for example, is it better to throw that whole chunk in at one time, or is it better to use dollar cost averaging to try to mitigate some of the risk and some of the potential mispickings, if you will, choosing poorly?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how much money we're talking about, right? If you're coming across $1 million, and it's an inheritance and it could be a big chunk of your life savings, then that's probably a conversation with a financial advisor, right? If we're talking about $10,000 because you got lucky in your March Madness bet, but you have, you know, 30 or 40 years until retirement and you expect to be putting in thousands of dollars into the market over your lifetime, then, you know, that's a different conversation too. So, you know, I think it kind of depends on what kind of a hypothetical we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, if somebody came into it and they want to put all of, let's say that they won their March Madness pool and they want to put all $10,000 into the market, you know, April 5th, what would you tell them to do? Would you rather them dollar cost average that amount into the market over a period of time? Or do you think it would be better to just, okay, plunk it all down on one thing or several things?
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways you could do it. One way, which has a lot of data backing it up, is to just plunk it down into an index fund. If you're an index fund investor, just plunk it down into that and then let the market kind of run its course. They say time in the market's more important than timing the market. And so that generally tends to work most of the time over history if you did it that way. If you're a stock picker like Dave and I are, I would definitely dollar cost average it. If I won a March Madness pool tomorrow, since we're recording this before it's all wrapped up, yeah, I would definitely dollar cost average it. What about you?
Yeah, I would definitely dollar cost average it. I think we've talked about this in the past. If you have a large sum of money that you want to put into the market, trying to come up with 10 best ideas to put into it at one time, I think would be near impossible. So I think, you know, trying to find one or two good ideas in a single month is hard enough. So, you know, tripling or quadrupling that, I think would be really, really difficult. So I think if you're picking individual companies, I would set aside a certain amount every month that I would want to put in and then treat it as a bonus dollar cost average to the money I was already normally putting in. And just work through it that way.
You know, actually, I changed my answer.
Okay.
Since this is going into the archives of podcasts and internet history, right? If you have something to back the truck into, I would put it into that, as long as it's not like 100% your portfolio. I feel like there's a pitch like that that's screaming at my face. So I would load into that. So let's go March Madness, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. So since we're recording this in the past, who do you have winning the tournament?
Because it's local for me, I go for Duke, and okay. Only because my wife's going for UNC, so I got to take the other side.
Yeah.
But no, I do like the Coach K legacy.
Yeah.
How about you?
I am picking Marquette to win the whole thing. So that's where my daughter-in-law went to school, and so we're rooting for Shaka Smart and the Golden Eagles to win it all.
The Golden Eagles.
Yeah.
That's quite the mascot.
Yes, it is. For sure. So I guess in the future, we'll look back on this and go, ooh, we were way wrong.
Oh, always. Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, with that, we will go ahead and wrap up our show for today. I wanted to thank everybody for taking the time to come listen to us, and I hope you're enjoying our Back to the Basics series. This is designed to help you become a better investor, and this can be a great resource that you can use in the future and in the past. So with that, we'll go ahead and sign us off. You guys go out there and invest with a margin of safety, emphasis on the safety. Have a great week, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
We hope you enjoyed this content. 7 Steps to Understanding the Stock Market shows you precisely how to break down the numbers in an engaging and readable way with real-life examples. Get access today at stockmarketpdf.com. Until next time, have a prosperous day.
The information contained is for general information and educational purposes only. It is not intended for a substitute for legal, commercial, and/or financial advice from a licensed professional. Review our full disclaimer at einvestingforbeginners.com.